or tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
So the afternoon service of Saturday, July the 7th, 1990. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
It's a time to rend your hearts and not your garments. It is a time to look inwardly and take inventory. For I, the Lord, do walk among thee this day. And I do speak a word of comfort, but I also speak a word of judgment that will deal with your flesh. For I, the Lord thy God, am in the midst of thee, and I love thee with a great love, and my hands is outstretched unto thee now, saith the Lord. And know that as you look inwardly, and as your eyes behold that which I show thee, then thou shalt deal with thyself. For I shall give you a revelation of yourself, and thou shalt know that the Almighty has dealt with thee. And thou shalt be delivered, and thou shalt be set free, for I am in the midst of thee. I do a quick work, I cut it short in righteousness, for you are my people. And yea, my chastening is upon thee. So be zealous, therefore, repent and turn from your ways, and know that I shall turn away the judgment of the enemy. And I shall turn the battle to the gate, and I, the Lord thy God, shall be glorified in the midst of thee. For I am the Lord that speaketh, and I walk again in the midst of thee. And I do a work in the midst of thee this day. So open your heart and know that God shall deal with thee this day, and he shall set thee free. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Amen, amen.
I'd like to say this about the camp meeting. We've had a wonderful deliverance of setting the captives free. And this is one of the best camp meetings that we've had in seeing people help. It's hard to rate these, but we've really had a good camp meeting of seeing people help. And see, this is the glory of God. The power of God has been here to set people free. I'm amazed. I'm really amazed at the power of God just being here at this camp meeting. And it's affected me. I really feel somewhat unworthy to teach. This is sort of an unusual feeling for me. But the power of God is here. God is here dealing with us. You know, like Tommy said, God is here dealing with each and every one of you. We all need to repent before the Lord. Ask God to forgive us, to help us. And I really feel that, and I really confirm the prophecy of Tommy. Everyone needs deliverance, from the young to the old, from the cradle to the grave. And what I'm getting ready to get into, I really wish I had Earlene here to help me. Because I'm going to talk about some women, namely all women, if you fall in the category. And I really like to have, I'm glad the young people are here. I'd like for the young people to stand up. Stand up and let me look at you. I want to see about what age you are. Yeah, give them a hand. Praise God. Okay, what's the youngest one of you? How old are you? 11? Anybody less than 11 years old? How old are you? 10? Oh, 8. Okay, so we got 8. And 11, and then on up. How old is the oldest one? How old are you? 17. Okay, so we got from 8 to 17. Okay, great. I think you can handle this lesson. You can sit down. Praise God. 8 to 17. Oh, tomorrow. Oh, praise God. Well, happy birthday. Right. Young people understand far more than we give them credit for. I'm amazed. We are now into our second childhood. We're raising in the process of we got a grandchild now, and he's 2.5 years old. You'll be amazed at what that boy can understand. I say we probably spend a little, I'm spending more time with him on a daily basis than I did with my children because I'm working in the home now. My office is in my home. And Erling does a lot of babysitting. So we get to see him a lot, and we get to observe him a lot. At 2.5, and he's been around adults. His mother takes him to work with her. She and her husband own a business, so they can take him to work with him. So he's around adults. And you'll be amazed at how that child is learning. Okay, so I'm not selling you young people short. You have far more ability than adults give you credit for.
Amen.
And I dare say that you're going to understand almost everything that I say here today. And this is not an easy lesson. Okay, Brother Jack read last night, the old prophecy gives an amazing preview. He gave me a sheet, a copy of it, and the Lord impressed me to use that in the message. I'm going to use it as openers for what I'm going into here. And now a word in uncommon rhyme, I'm not a poet, of what will be in further time, for in those wondrous far-off days, the women shall adopt a craze, to dress like men and trousers wear, and cut off their lovely locks of hair. They'll ride astride with brazen brow, as witches on a broomstick now, then love shall die and marriage cease, and nations wane as babies decrease. The wives shall fondle cats and dogs, and then live much the same as hogs. Okay, let's talk about women, but you could fit men in there too. Now let's look at, what does this say, kids? Not kids, I'm sorry, I apologize. Young people. Okay, the women shall adopt a craze. Okay, the world has put a hook in the noses of women. They're dominated by fashion year after year. Every year it changes. So they're led around by hook in their nose. They're led around by fashions. They're also led around by women's lib, which is clearly ungodly. Now, a lot of what's wrong with women is simply what's wrong with men. Men have not done their job. If men had done their job, we wouldn't have women's lib.
Amen.
To dress like men and trousers wear. Okay, so basically there's, as I can tell, there's women's pants and there's men's pants that women wear. More and more you see women's pants, trousers, what's the right word, slacks. Okay, more and more you see women's slacks that look like men's pants. Okay, they've even got into the underwear stage. The women wear men's, looks like men's underwear. God help us. And cut off their lovely locks of hair. Okay, the hair is getting shorter and shorter on the women. They're looking more and more like men. Many times you can't, from behind, you can't tell a woman from a man. They ride astride with brazen brow. Now this is one, and I ask God to help me present this. I really don't know how to present it, but I'm going to do it. Okay, the brazen woman, she walks with a gait where her hips protrude forward. This is a sexual symbol. She wears tight clothes, and she goes with her top, her chest part sticking out, and her hips part sticking out. That's a sign of a whore. She has a whore's forehead. You ever heard of that? A whore's forehead. All right, let's see if Gene knows what he's talking about. Let's go to Jeremiah 3:3. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 3. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hadst a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. So the women who are whorish, they have a whore's forehead. They're not ashamed. They're brazen. You can see it on them. And witches on a broomstick now. All right? These are Jezebelic women. They dominate. They manipulate. They control their husbands, their children, their churches, and on. They try to control everybody they come into contact with. Every woman has problems with Jezebel. Every man has problems with Ahab. It goes back to our dear friends, Adam and Eve. Adam was an Ahab, and Eve was a Jezebel. And look what they handed down to us. Well, boy, did they hand it down to us. Then love shall die and marriage cease. How about divorce and living together? How about that, kids? Is it all right just to live together and not get married? No. You may have been affected by divorce of your parents or separation. It's hard. It's very hard. And nations wane as babies decrease. How will babies decrease? Abortion. Oh, we only kill a few million each year. You can see the effects of population decrease on the United States. And it's going to affect our country. It is affecting our country. Is abortion murder? Absolutely. And wives shall fondle cats and dogs. Fondling is sexually fondling cats and dogs. That's bestiality. Sex with beasts is bestiality. You don't do that. Okay? Out of that can come grotesque babies. They usually kill them. And then live much the same as hogs. So these people who do this, they live like animals. They're filthy, dirty people. Have you ever been in somebody's house? The house was filthy, dirty, cluttered up, looked like pigs lived there. Did you understand what I just said? Did I make it pretty clear? Are you going to go do it? No. You know and you won't go do these things. If your parents did, well, God forgive them. You forgive them. But don't go out and do these things. Now, the message for today is another good one. Lies, deceit, and flattery. I probably got something in here for most of you. Now, let's go through the Bible. Another title I thought about calling this is, Are You a Liar? Are you a liar? Well, let's find out if you are. Let's go through the Bible. Numbers 23:19. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. And hopefully all these are in chronological order. Make it easy on us. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God is not a man that he should lie. God doesn't lie. He doesn't play games with us. Okay, Judges 16:10. Judges chapter 16, verse 10. Judges 16:10. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. Okay, all of you young people know about Delilah and Samson, right? You've heard this story before. Okay? Delilah was trying to get Samson to reveal the secret so that she could get some money. So she pressed him, and he lied. Okay, he played with lies. You can't play with lies. 1 Samuel 15:29. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 29. This is a good one. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Who is the strength of Israel? It's God. Will not lie nor repent. So God doesn't lie, and he doesn't want us lying. Okay, Job chapter 11, verse 3. Job chapter 11, verse 3. Should thy lies make men hold their peace, and when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed. Lies are bad devices. That's a bad thing to use in life. Psalms 62, verse 4. Psalms 62, verse 4. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Stealing. Do you delight in lies? Do you enjoy your lies? Psalm 85, verse 35. Psalm 85, verse 35. 89:35. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. God is not going to lie unto David. Now, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 5. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. So if you're a false witness for Jesus Christ, you'll utter lies. Proverbs 19, verse 5. Proverbs 19, verse 5. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. So the liar shall not escape. Now let's look at verse 9 in that same chapter. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. So if you're a liar, you will perish. Now let's go to 29:12. Proverbs 29, verse 12. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. Does your leader listen to lies? Does your pastor listen to lies? Does the ruler or the leader of your company listen to lies? Okay, Isaiah 9:15. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 15. The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet and teacher, the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. So if you're a false prophet, you're the tail. Chapter 28, verse 15. Chapter 28, verse 15. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Have you made lies your refuge? Chapter 59, verse 4. Chapter 59, verse 4. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. If you're vain, you will lie. Chapter 63, verse 8. Chapter 63, verse 8. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. All right, God's children will not lie. Are you God's children? Well, you won't lie. Jeremiah 14, 14. Even if you see your parents lying. Jeremiah 14, 14. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Do you prophesy lies in the name of God? Ezekiel 21, 29. Ezekiel 21, 29. Whiles they see vanity unto thee, whiles they divine a lie unto you, to bring thee upon the necks of them that are slain, of the wicked, whose day is come, when their iniquity shall have an end. False prophecy is divination. Okay, let's look at chapter 24, verse 12. Chapter 24, verse 12. She hath wearied herself with lies, and her great scum went not forth out of her. Her scum shall be in the fire. Are you weary with lies? Now let's go to Hosea 10, 13. Hosea chapter 10, verse 13. You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way and the multitude of thy mighty men. Have you eaten the fruit of lies? Chapter 12, verse 1. Chapter 12, verse 1. Ephraim feedeth on wind and falleth after the east wind. He daily increaseth lies and desolation. And they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. Lies will bring you into desolation. Amos 2:4. Amos chapter 2, verse 4. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord, and have not kept his commandments, and their lies cause them to err, after which their fathers have walked. So lies will cause you to make errors. Micah 1:14. Micah chapter 1, verse 14. Therefore shalt thou give presents to Moresheth Gath, the houses of Achzib shall be a lie to the kings of Israel. So lies will cause you to fail. Chapter 2, verse 11. Chapter 2, verse 11. If a man walking in the Spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of his people. A man walking in the Spirit will not lie. You children realize that if you walk led by the Holy Spirit of God, you won't lie? Nahum 3:1. Nahum chapter 3, verse 1. Woe to the bloody city, it is all full of lies and robbery, the prey departeth not. Lies and robbery are companions. John 8:44. Now we're over in the New Testament. John chapter 8, verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and a father of it. The devil is a father of lies. Acts 5, 3. Acts chapter 5, verse 3. But Peter said to Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Lies come from Satan. Now let's look at verse 4 too. While there remained, was it not thine own? And after it was so, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. You lie to God rather than men. Romans 1:25. Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So Satan changed the truth of God into a lie. Now let's look at chapter 9, verse 1. Chapter 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. The truth is in Christ. That's the only place you're going to find the whole truth is in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:31. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. God knows when you lie. Colossians 3:9. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Do not lie to each other. 2 Thessalonians 2:11. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 11. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. If you lie, you're deluded. 1 Timothy 4:2. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So they're speaking lies in hypocrisy. You're a hypocrite. Titus 1, 2. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God cannot lie. Hebrews 6, 18. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. It is impossible for God to lie. James 3:14. James chapter 3, verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Envy will cause a person to lie. 1 John 1:6. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Liars walk in darkness. Revelations 21:8. Revelations 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable and murderers, and whoremongers and sorcerers, and idolaters and all liars shall have their place in all what is going to burn? All liars. That's really sobering. Liars shall be placed in the lake of fire and brimstone. Okay, 22:15. We've about gone through the whole Bible here. 22:15. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. You love a lie? Okay, now that's taking you through the Bible, taking you on a walk through the Bible. And let's all stand up and take a stretch here. Well, this is after lunch. Get that blood flowing. I want to talk to the young people here. Did you young people understand what I just said and just read to you? Was that over and above your understanding? Pretty clear, wasn't it? Right. Okay, I recommend, what I'm getting into next, I recommend you young people have a problem. How many of you have a dictionary? A dictionary? Raise your hand. Okay, right. So, that's good. See, every young person who's in junior high school will have a dictionary. If you're below this, you may and you may not have. But I recommend all of you get a dictionary. Just get you a simple dictionary. I'd recommend one like a collegiate dictionary. It's not really too hard for you. But it's got most of the meanings in it. Okay, you may be seated. Now, I want you to listen to these definitions and see if they apply to you. Let's find out if you're a liar. Number one, lying. To make an untrue statement with intent to deceive, to create a false or misleading impression, to affect by telling lies, to tell an untruth, an assertion or something known or believed by the speaker to be untrue with intent to deceive, an untrue or inaccurate statement that may or may not be believed true by the speaker, something that misleads or deceives. Number two, lie, prevaricate, equivocate, falter, fib. Mean to tell an untruth. Lie is a blunt term imputing dishonesty. Prevaricate softens the bluntness of lie by implying quibbling or confusing issue. Equivocate implies using words having more than one sense so as to seem to say one thing but to intend another. Falter implies making unreliable statements of fact or intention or insecure promise. Fib applies to telling a trivial untruth. So if you fib, you're telling a trivial untruth. So we're going all the way from lies, which is strong, down to fib, which is weak. Nevertheless, they're all lies. They're all untruths. Untruth means something that's not the truth. It doesn't line up with the Word of God. Number three, deceit. The act or practice of deceiving. Deception, an attempt or device to deceive. Trick, the quality of being deceitful. Deceitfulness. Number four, deceit. Ensnare, to be false to fail to fulfill, cheat. All of you know what that is. To cause to accept as true or valid that which is false or invalid, to while away. Number five, deceive, mislead, delude, beguile. Mean to lead astray or frustrate, usually by underhandedness. Deceive implies imposing a false idea or belief that causes ignorance, bewilderment, or helplessness. Mislead implies a leading astray that may or may not be intentional. Delude implies deceiving so thoroughly as to obscure the truth. Beguile stresses the use of charm and persuasion in deceiving. Okay? Now, let's go to dishonest. Dishonest means shameful, unchaste, characterized by lack of truth, honesty or trustworthiness, unfair and deceptive. Number seven. Dishonest, deceitful, mendacious, lying, untruthful mean unworthy of trust or belief. Dishonest implies a willful perversion of truth in order to deceive, cheat, or defraud. Deceitful usually implies an intent to mislead and commonly suggests a false appearance or double dealing. Mendacious is less forthright than lying, may suggest bland or even harmlessly mischievous deceit, and use of people often suggests a habit of telling untruths. Lying implies a specific act or instance rather than a habit or tendency. Untruthful is less brutal term than lying, and in application to accounts or description stresses a discrepancy between what is said and fact or reality rather than an intent to deceive. So these are different shades of lying, deceit, deception. How about flattery? You know what flattery is? Flattery is the act or practice of flattering, something that flatters. Insecure or excessive praise. A pleasing self-deception. Fame. to give a false appearance of, induce as a false impression, to assert as if true, pretend, invent, imagine, to give fictional representation to, disguise, and conceal. How about vanity? You probably heard that plenty up here. Something that is vain, empty, or valueless. Valueless. Emptiness. The quality or fact of being vain. Inflated pride in oneself or one's appearance. Conceit. And finally, number 11, false. Not genuine. Intentionally untrue. Adjusted or made so as to deceive. Tending to mislead. Not true. Not faithful or loyal. Treacherous. Appearing forced or artificial. Unconvincing. Based on mistaken ideas, inconsistent with the facts, imprudent, unwise, and faithless. Okay, that's 11 definitions and sub-definitions about the lesson I'm teaching here. That's what Webster would say about this. Okay, and I think probably that's pretty much, well, I'd say it's pretty much clear to you, although I use a lot of big words in there. Did y'all get the intent of what those definitions were? Did it really confuse you? Okay, now let's use some English. Let's use something that will be a little bit easier to understand. God is truth. God is ultimate truth. He imparts His truth to us primarily through the written Word of God, which we are expected to learn and use in a workmanlike manner. In addition, Almighty God speaks to us through His Holy Spirit into our human spirits. Jesus Christ is our attorney before Almighty God. He presents our defense to God and asks that God show us the truth of Jesus Christ. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are truth, and they want us to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Okay, let me see if I can illustrate this to you. I make my living as an expert. I go to court, appear before judges, juries, attorneys use me. I work for insurance companies and so forth. So I'm dealing with the court system. Okay, do you know what they do when they get you to court and they put you up on the witness stand? What's the first thing they do? Right, they swear you in. Okay, they say, raise your hand and say, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Now, I swear. Some Christians don't like to do that. But I don't have any problem with that. Now, I'm going to ask you that question. Raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Say it again. I do. Say, I do.
I do.
Okay, that's good. Now, in the court of law, there's penalties. If I perjure myself, I can go to jail. And they don't play around with that either. What do you think God's going to do to you if you perjure yourself? You going to get away with it? His ways are above our ways, and His thoughts are above our thoughts. He has all wisdom and knowledge. We are expected to seek Him, and He will impart His wisdom and knowledge to use throughout the Holy Spirit. The truth of Jesus Christ will set you free. God never makes a mistake and does not have to change His mind about what He does. Oh, I swear to the congregation, you have been sworn in. I don't want to hear any lies out of you today. For that matter, for the rest of the camp meeting. Okay, now, the thought came to me today of swearing the preachers in. Okay, think about that. God will not lie. Where would you be if you could not trust God in everything? Where would you be if you could not trust the Bible in everything? What would you believe and what would you not believe? You are risking your eternity on what God says in His Word. You are also risking your life here on earth. Most Christians tend to look at the here and now rather than the here and after, which is the most important. It is such a blessing to relax in God and trust Him in all things and not have to trust in ourselves. So where are you looking? You know, are you narrow-minded? You've got your eyes on the things on earth? Are you looking that this is just a preparation for the here and after? What's more important to you, things going on here and now? Or what's going to happen because of what is going on in here and now, what you have done? I see many preachers that look to the here and now rather than the here and after. Everything you do is going to have a consequence in the here and after. You better be thinking about that. No one is perfect or ever will be perfect on this earth except for Jesus Christ. I find that I make mistakes in judgment in my dealings with people and with the things of the world. I also sin and have to ask forgiveness of the Father. If you will read or listen to the Bible and compare it to your life, you will find that you fall far short of what the Bible tells you to do. Do you love God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, or is there some reservation for the things of the world? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? How are you treating your neighbors? I have the whole Bible on tape. I do a lot of traveling, about 40,000 miles a year in the business and the ministry. And I have the whole Bible on tape, and I just run through it again and again and again. And boy, it really brings me up on the carpet. If you want to see how far short you fall, just listen to the Bible or read it. If you don't have it on tape, well, read it. And apply it to yourself, not to your neighbor. Okay, let's look at a couple of verses. Mark 12, 33-31. Mark chapter 12, 33-31. This is what you're supposed to do. See if you do. See if you do this, young people. And thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So who are you supposed to love? God. With what? All your being. Right. And the second is like, namely this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So after God, you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. How many of you have done it? I'm going to put you on the spot. Are any of you out there that can say that you follow those verses, that you meet those verses 100%? I can't raise my hand even. If one of you did, I'd figure you were a liar. Righteousness and holiness. If you want to live in righteousness and holiness, then you will not lie or think lies. Think about God and Satan hearing every lie that you speak out of your mouth, or think about in your mind. Think about God and Satan taking action on those lies. God will not bless, and Satan will fulfill the curses. Preachers talk a lot about living a holy life in righteousness. Many times they tell you to do something, but do not tell you how to do it. It does no good to tell a person to do something in the Lord unless you tell them how to do it according to the Bible. I never forget, back when we were in the traditional church, it was common to talk about the traditional pastors tell you, be filled with the Spirit. They didn't tell you how to be filled with the Spirit. Why didn't they tell you how to be filled with the Spirit? Well, they didn't know how to tell you. I mean, it sounded like a good buzzword. Be filled with the Spirit. Sounds so good. Well, how do you be filled with the Spirit? They weren't filled with the Spirit. So they didn't know how to tell you how to do it. The little white lie. How many Christians feel that they can tell a little white lie and it will not hurt anything? How do you know it will not hurt anyone? What damage could it cause you and those related to you, Christian family and blood-related family? Since we are the body of Christ and every Christian is related to every other Christian, then what we do affects everyone else. What has happened to the body of Christ due to the leaders who fell? Has it affected you? Has it affected your church, your ministry? Absolutely. Why? Because we are one body. What one part of the body does, good, bad, or indifferent, affects the rest of the body. You may see it, you may not see it. It may be very minor, it may be very major. Every lie gives Satan an opportunity to use it against you and against the person who you told the lie to. He might even petition God for an opportunity to get at you. Jesus Christ will not defend you when you tell a lie. Why not tell the truth in love? That's what I'm up here doing right now. I'm telling you the truth in love. We have found that tough love is a good way to help people. If you truly love the person, you will tell them the truth. If you're after some selfish gain, you will not be truthful with that person so that they will feel good about you and let you have your way. God tells us the truth to help us. Satan tells us a lie to hurt us. Now, let's talk about evangelistic speaking. All you preachers will relate to this. In fact, this is where I heard that word is from, preachers. Evangelistically speaking. This is a term used by ministers to talk about their meeting, church, or congregation. They exaggerate the numbers to make them look good to the other ministers and other Christians. This is another white lie. So can a preacher lie? Absolutely. Now, how about the deliberate lie? When a Christian tells a deliberate lie, they are really opening themselves up to demonic attack. They fully know it is a lie, but they deliberately go ahead and tell it anyway. Now, I did a research Well, a lot of verses that I didn't read here, and I summarized these. And I want you to listen to the following scripture and see if it fits you. You could be called a liar if this fits you. You could say that your father is the devil because he is the father of lies. Just like him, your part will be in the lake. You shall not escape and shall perish. Liars are failures, use bad tactics. A sword is upon them. They're deceivers, have naughty tongues. Poor men are better, commit perjury in the spiritual world, and the truth is not in them. What else do they do? Liars set a trap for themselves, do not respect themselves, delight in lies, are false witnesses, make lies their refuge, lie to God's people, cause themselves to make mistakes, will eat the fruit of their lies, think up lies, teach and prophesy lies, trust in lies, are weary with lies, are an abomination to God, are recognized as liars, do not walk in the Spirit, are false, lie to God, walk in darkness, and speak in hypocrisy. Now, those are excerpts out of verses in the Bible about liars. How about flattery? Oh, that doesn't harm anything. I mean, just a little flattery won't hurt. Now, what's wrong with flattery? You're trying to deceive the person by being insecure and praising the person without justification. You see a lot of flattery in the Christian and carnal worlds. You expect it in the carnal world where people are trying to get the upper hand and advance their cause. We should not have to see it in the Christian world. Why are Christian laymen and ministers so weak that they need to be praised just to do their jobs? Why do pastors have to build themselves up and have their congregations build themselves up? Why do people try to get the glory that belongs to God? These people have a problem with pride, ego, and vanity, or with insecurity, inferiority, and rejection, or with selfishness, greed, and self-serving. Pretending. Anything wrong with pretending, children? Pretending is another form of lying. You could use synonyms like affectation, theatrics, play-acting, sophistication, pretension, and so forth. God hates the smell of your offering because it is false. He sees through your front and into your inner man where the true self resides. But when God looks at you, does he look at your long hair and everything like that? Does he look within you? Right, he looks within you. He looks at that inner woman. We call it the inner man or the inner girl, the inner woman. He looks on the true you. Now we see, I see, you know, I've got that long, beautiful hair and nice clothes and everything. That's what I see. Inside may be a beautiful, lovely young girl, or maybe a wicked young girl. I can't tell. But God can. See, God sees. God looks through the outside, looks on the inside. You put on your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes and artificial face. This is your facade to show the world that you're a good Christian. You may act like the devil before or after the service. During the service, you do and say the right things. You live for God 1 hour of the week, and then you live for yourself the rest of the week. Christianity is a full-time profession, not just during the times that the church door is open for meetings. You have to work at being a good Christian. It is not a spectator sport. You realize that? It's not a spectator sport. It's not just up to a few weird people to get up behind a pulpit and lead you. You're supposed to have an active part in Christianity. Women especially have problems with pretending to prove that they're all right in the sight of God and man. Women have so many problems through rejection, trying to make themselves feel they're okay. It's okay to be a woman. It is. It's okay to be a woman. I'm telling you that, women. There's nothing wrong with being a woman. You're okay. Their voices will be high-pitched, piercing, and falsetto, or they will be harsh, rough, and angry, or they will be pious, religious, and in another tongue. In other words, their voices will not be natural, as if another personality took over and the true personality was submerged. All right, men. Men tend to be more natural than women. They exhibit their pretense and their overdressing, hairstyles, makeup, perfume, and jewelry. They pray in a falsetto voice. They try to appear to be very dignified and in control of every situation. They exhibit false tears for appearance. So both sides have problems. Men, you're not rejected. Be men. Quit being Ahabs. Deceit and deception. It is sad to see all of the deceit and deception going on in the Christian world today. Most of it stems from those who are trying to build their ministry rather than letting God build His ministry in that person or church. It can take the form of trying to build an edifice for one man who must raise a lot of money. And I'm looking forward to Glenn getting up and telling about the wrong things that go on in the Christian world about collecting money. I'm waiting to hear that lesson. It can be a pastor of a local church who must be dictatorial and flattered. It is usually self-centered in one man or a small group of men and women. These practices go on for years until something happens and that person falls. Then the Christian world catches it from the media. Do you realize the media doesn't like Christians? By and large, they don't like Christianity. Do everything they can to get at us and destroy us. If you didn't hear Speed, you ought to get those tapes from Speed. If nothing shakes you up, that ought to shake you up. We may have until 1995 before our country is taken over. And I dare say, if it is, I'm going to be one on the hit list. So, praise God. The falls of these men affect all Christianity. They have affected our ministry, your ministry, Lake County Bible Camp. How have they affected Lake County Bible Camp? Through offerings. You know, the people out there, if they don't know the people here, they say, well, how can I trust Lake County Bible Camp? What are they going to do with the money? Are they going to be like these other people that squandered the money on themselves? What it's forced me to do is forced me to try to get involved with the ministries that I support. Try to find out, you know, are they valid or are they not? Okay, I can tell you Lake County Bible Camp is valid. I recommend you put your money here. I help support the camp with my time and with my money. And I have watched them for years. Okay, so don't just send your money anywhere and everywhere. Try to do a little research. I mean, I can remember back when we first came to Baton Rouge and my son had died. Everybody who came through town, I automatically wrote them a check. I never forget one incident in church. My wife has a tremendous discerning of spirits. At that time, I had almost no discerning of spirits. And so this man came into the church, and he gave us this appeal for this children's home. And my wife, she was agitated. She was agitated. And so after the service, I started writing out my usual check. And she was talking out loud to me in church, you know. And it was embarrassing. I had to tell her, be quiet. And lo and behold, this man, what he would do, he would go around and to churches in the United States. He would tell every church, that's your orphanage down there, that's your mission. And he would have a sign for every church. So if he heard somebody was coming to town, he would take the sign down and put their church sign up. Well, our church only lost $50,000 in the deal until they caught on. That's what it cost our church, was $50,000. Okay, so here was Earlene. I had a tremendous discernment of spirits, and I had almost none. Well, for all practical purposes, I did have none. I didn't discern there's anything wrong with that man. Now, what was I operating out of? I was operating out of guilt. My son had died. Before my son died, I'd been a two-bit Christian. I mean, I've been an engineer ever since I graduated, and engineers always make good money. Okay, and I've been an engineer since 1956, so I've always made a good salary. Okay, so I'd give the offering plate to come around, I'd put 2 bits in it, or a dollar, you know, just a little bit of money, nowhere near a tithe. And I didn't have discernment, and Earlene did. So you need discernment where you put your money. There's a lot of charlatans out there who are trying to take advantage of it. And that's why I'm looking forward to Glenn. See, Glenn has been behind the scenes. He knows a lot of ministries. He knows about a lot of ministries. He knows far more than I do. My exposure is rather limited. His is far greater than mine. He can get up and tell you about what's wrong. Okay, pride, ego, and vanity. I like the definition of vainness. You know what vainness is? Starts with an E. Emptiness. If you're vain, you're empty. They like being empty. That's where vainness leads you. The self-inflated pride is emptiness. It's like a lot of hot air, and a person needs their balloon punctured. They need to come down to earth and accept reality in their lives. God hates pride because the people want to be gods rather than accept God's leadership. Pride, ego, and vanity is demonic. It's an abomination to God. There's demons by those names. Falseness. Excuse me. Anything that is false is contrary to God and will cause us problems of some sort. Is there any good in falseness? Will you be rewarded for falseness? Will you pay a penalty before God for falseness? Falseness can be found in religions, churches, ministries, families, and individuals. It can be found in human beings and material things. The human being is trying to be someone other than his natural self. He is using material things to try to achieve an image that he wants to portray. Are you trying to be somebody other than who you are? Cheating. Should you cheat, young people? No. Anybody got any doubts about that? Whether it's okay to cheat under certain circumstances? Lying leads to cheating, and cheating leads to lying. They work hand in hand. Cheating can take many forms. Cheating on the marriage and family. Cheating on the ministry and church finances. Cheating on the Lord in tithes and offerings. Just like I told you, I cheated on the Lord in tithes and offerings. Cheating on the business and income taxes. And in general, taking ungodly advantage of others in some form. We can cheat mentally, physically, spiritually, or materially. Cheating on God is called spiritual adultery or the whoring after other gods. It could be called spiritual idolatry, the love of money, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Now, dishonesty. A dishonest person must lie to cover their tracks. One lie leads to another, and the person becomes a compulsive liar. A dishonest Christian will lie to God or try to reason with God about his actions or try to rationalize his actions in his mind. The person cannot be trusted. A Christian must first be honest with God and then honest with himself. It is much easier to face the truth head-on. In the short run, it hurts, but in the long run, it pays off.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.